Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Was there such a thing as Peter being the first pope? So far, we have found no evidence that that was so from the book of Acts. And I think by the time we're done with these series of segments, Was Peter Ever in Rome?, you are going to understand that the entire foundation of Roman Catholicism and hence Protestantism, because Protestantism keeps the same days as Catholicism does, okay, has no basis for true Christianity whatsoever. And it's going to be just like the Apostle John. When he was shown the vision in Revelation 17 of the end time Babylon the Great and its great religious system and its great governmental system, the Apostle John was stunned and amazed. And I imagine he thought, how could this thing be? Well, because they reject the Bible, they reject the truth, they reject the Old Testament, they reject the New Testament. So what we do at Church at Home is we go into the Bible and we go into true history and we put it all together. So that's why you need the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. You need the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. That is going to be outstanding for you to understand the truth. Because most of those who consider themselves Christians really know very little about the Bible. And of the difficult parts of the New Testament, they are completely misled because they don't know the truth concerning Judaism. Judaism, as we show in the book, is not a revelation of Moses, but a religion of men based upon tradition. So here you have those who claim to be worshiping God and using the Bible, completely ignorant of the Bible because they reject it and they do not obey God. And here's a key. You want a key to understand the Bible? You obey what God says to do. If you want an interesting Bible study, if you've got your Bible on your iPad or on your computer, look up the words, obey the voice of the Lord, or obey the voice of God. What you have in the Bible are the written words of what God spoke and what Jesus spoke and what the apostles spoke and taught. And these are from God. And true Christianity only comes from the Word of God. It does not come from the traditions of men, because the traditions of men amount to the greatest sin that men can do, that is, replace the Word of God with their traditions. Now, if you don't understand that, you better search it out. Let's understand. Here's what Peter said when he first came to Cornelius, and Cornelius bowed down and worshiped him. Peter picked him up and said, "Stand up, I'm a man like you." Then he said, verse 28 is a very important key, and this has to do with Judaism and not a law of God. Verse 28. Here's what he told Cornelius. "You know that it is an unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew." Now, a Jew is one who would be practicing Judaism. Peter forsook that. "To associate with or come near to any one of another race. But God has shown me through this vision that no man should be called common or unclean. Now, what is common and what is unclean? Well, according to Judaism, a man who is common is one from another nation or a Gentile who embraced Judaism and was circumcised in the flesh. Now, he is common. In the synagogue, they were called those who feared God, and they sat at the back of the synagogue. The Jews sat up front, the women on one side, and the Gentiles way in the back because they were common. Now, unclean in referring to a man would be a Gentile who was not circumcised in the flesh. And they were not to associate with or talk to or eat with anyone who was not circumcised in the flesh. Now that is pure discrimination and racism. So you need our book concerning Judaism, the problems in the early New Testament church were associated with Judaism and the traditions of Judaism, because Catholicism did not happen until the early church fathers started it. That was the start of it, and that was way after the death of the Apostle John in 100 AD. And Catholicism got its real start by Emperor Constantine in 325 AD. That is nearly 300 years after the founding of the New Testament church as found in Acts, the second chapter, with the giving of the Holy Spirit. That's longer than the United States being a nation. So think of all the things that have happened to the United States from its beginning to now, and you got a pretty good parallel as to what happened with Christianity from the death of John until 325 AD. So you have, from the beginning of the church, nearly 300 years. You have, from the death of the Apostle John, 225 years. Don't you think a lot of twisting and turning can happen in that length of time? Yes, indeed. So Peter said he came without objection, and why did you send for me? Now notice what Cornelius said. Now let's understand something very important. Cornelius was praying to God. Cornelius was giving alms. Cornelius was a Gentile of the Italian band who was not circumcised. Now, we'll see the follow-up on this in chapter 11, and this brings us in a chronology as to what really happened to Peter. It's going to become very interesting as we go forward. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I was praying in my house, and suddenly a man stood before me in bright apparel. Now that is a description of an angel. So God sent an angel to Cornelius. God did not make the differentiation of Judaism concerning physical circumcision. He sent an angel, and what was the message the angel brought to him? And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Now, isn't that interesting? Because Judaism says your prayers can't be heard by God unless you are circumcised. So you see, the problem is Judaism, not the laws of God. Now, let's just add one little thing here. Upon conversion and receiving of the Holy Spirit of God, those who repent and are baptized have the circumcision of the heart and mind, which is a higher standard of circumcision. So circumcision has not been done away. It has been superseded by a higher standard, because God wants the mind converted, not a piece of the flesh uncovered. Continuing now, verse 32. Now then, send to Joppa and call for Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He is lodging by the sea in the house of Simon a tanner. When he comes, he will speak to you. Therefore, I sent for you at once, and you did well to come. So then, we are all present before God to hear all things that have been commanded you by God. Wow, so here's a whole household. Now, I don't know how many of the 100 soldiers were there, but this was a big crowd of Italians, uncircumcised. So what was God doing here, and why is this recorded here? To show that the early New Testament church and the teachings of Jesus Christ reject the traditions of Judaism, and they were not to be brought into the church. So God had to show by a miracle and demonstration of power to Peter that that was God's decision. Now Peter was beginning to get it. So let's see what Peter said here, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons, but in every nation, the one who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him." The word that he sent to the children of Israel, preaching the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You have knowledge of which declaration came throughout the whole of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. Isn't that interesting? Everything that was done was well known in Judea. All of the preaching of Jesus, all of the miracles of Jesus, all of the preaching and miracles of the apostles in Jerusalem, and their witness before the Sanhedrin, and the tremendous number of Jews that believed. And remember, the New Testament says to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. So here, God himself is opening the door to Gentiles to receive the Holy Spirit of God without being physically circumcised. God had to do this. A man could not do it. So God sent Peter to do this. See, as I said earlier, all of these mundane things and histories look like they're not too relevant or important. But every single word is God-breathed. And this helps us understand what actually happened. So let's read on. Verse 38. Concerning Jesus, who was from Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And we, the apostles, are witnesses of all these things that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up the third day and showed him openly. Nowhere in the Bible does it say one night, one day, and one night in the tomb. And that's what you have with a Friday crucifixion of the tradition of Catholicism and Protestantism. That's why you need the book that I have mentioned, Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, the day Jesus the Christ died. So you be sure and ask for those books if you really want to learn. Now you also have to be careful. Whatever you learn from church at home and whatever you learn from the Word of God, you are responsible to God to act upon that knowledge And if you do not, God will take away what you have. Let's go on. Verse 41, not to all people, but to witnesses who had been chosen before by God, to those of us who did eat and drink with him after he had risen from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to fully testify that it is he who has been appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives remission of sins through his name. There is a summary of the gospel. Now, we're going to see that Peter stayed there for many days afterwards, see? Contrary to the demands of the traditions of Judaism. Remember, in the New Testament, we are not dealing with the problems of Protestantism versus Catholicism. We are dealing of the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Old Testament versus Judaism. And their false religion, while still having the Word of God retained. Now let's go on. Let's see, God did a miracle to prove to Peter that God was causing this to be done. And it had to be done this way because, as we will see when we get to the next chapter, those in authority in Jerusalem were still clinging to Judaism, though they believed in Christ. And this was God showing that he's stripping away all the laws of Judaism from the Holy Word of God in the Old Testament, the law of the prophets and the Psalms. So God was doing this. Now let's read it. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who were listening to the message, and the believers from the circumcision were astonished, as many as had come with Peter, that upon the Gentiles also the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. Now, that was a tremendous thing. Why were those who came with Peter astonished? See? The believers from the circumcision, they still had not weaned themselves away from the laws and traditions of Judaism. Now God was beginning to reveal that circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh. And later we will see there was a controversy that some of the Jews still said, you cannot, meaning it's impossible to be saved unless you are circumcised in the flesh. So this is why God had to do it this way, to show them. Now it's very interesting, where is Peter when this took place? In Caesarea on the west coast of Judea at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, 1,500 miles from Rome in 38 AD. Here's what else happened after they received the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak in other languages and magnify God. Now, where did we read of that before? Acts, the second chapter, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they began to speak with other languages. So what was God showing the Apostle Peter? Peter finally got the point, verse 47. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have also received the Holy Spirit as we did? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they besought him to remain for a number of days. Who did the baptizing? Those that came with Peter. Now then, Protestants come along and say, well, today you don't need to be baptized because these people received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized, and they don't have a clue as to the reason why. This was to lay the axe at Judaism, and to establish that God is not a respecter of persons, and that people can't come along, even as the Jews today say, "We are the chosen people." Now then, he stayed with him a number of days, so he was right there eating and drinking with them, teaching them, showing them about the Word of God. Now, how long he stayed, we don't know. Number of days. That could be a week. That could be 2 weeks. We don't know. Now, notice the uproar that this caused when word got back to Jerusalem. Let's read it. Now, the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. How did they hear that? Probably one of those that went with Peter went back up to Jerusalem and said, "You'll never believe what happened when we were in Caesarea. These people received the Holy Spirit without being circumcised." So, let's see what happened. Verse 2. And when Peter went up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision disputed with him, saying, "You went into men who were uncircumcised and did eat with them." Now, we're going to see later that that is going to come back and haunt the Apostle Peter later when we get to Galatians, the second chapter. So Peter explained everything to them. He explained about the vision. He explained about the letting down of the sheet. Peter, "Arise, kill and eat." But I said, "In no way, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered into my mouth." So this means that Peter also now had to set aside the traditions of the Jews because God had showed it to him. Then a voice from heaven answered me the second time, saying, "What God has cleansed, you are not to call common." Verse 15. And when I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them, even as it also came upon us in the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, verse 17 is a key important verse for many reasons. Therefore, if God also gave them the same gift that was given to us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to dissent? Do I have the power to forbid God? Well, that's quite a statement, because the Pope claims today infallibility, so he can defy God. Another good reason why Peter was not the first pope. He submitted to the will of God. Now, they accepted this in Jerusalem, and these were known later as the circumcision party. And later, there were some political things that took place with this. We'll see that later. Now, verse 18. After hearing these things, they were silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has indeed granted repentance unto life." No sign, clear up through 38 AD, that Peter was destined to become the first pope. He was an apostle. He was one of the leading apostles. There was Peter, James, and John. And God did use him to go to the Gentiles concerning Cornelius and those in Caesarea. But the question is, did he ever go to Rome? What happened to Peter after this? Well, we'll cover that in the next segment, and you are going to be absolutely amazed. So once again, be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. And there we have lots of material for you to download, many sermons, audio and video, and be sure and download the things we have on Church at Home homepage. Click on the articles, look through those, download every one of them, send for our free books. We'll send it to you because we want you to know the truth of God. We want you to understand the way of God. We want you to really understand the things that have happened in the past and the prophecies which are going to happen now and in the future. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.